Tēnā koutou katoa. Good afternoon. Welcome to day two of Alert Level 3. It may surprise some viewers today to see me here alongside Dr. Bloomfield, because you will have heard me say that recently was set down to be our last for the foreseeable future press conference together. But you will also have heard me repeatedly say that life at level 3 is very similar to life at level 4, and so we decided to extend that mantra into the way that we're treating it with our press conferences. So after some feedback, you will find us here together till the remainder of level 3 concludes, for the most part, with ongoing appearances from other ministers and other agencies as part of the response to COVID-19. I'll hand over, though, now for the health update from Dr. Bloomfield.
Thank you, Prime Minister. Kia ora koutou katoa. So today I have two new COVID-19 cases to report. One is a new confirmed case that is in quarantine in Auckland associated with international travel, and one is a probable case that is associated with an existing case, that is a close contact of an existing case. In addition to this, we have also reclassified a previous probable case as confirmed. This is an historic one. It actually dates from earlier in April, and it's just been updated in our EpiServe database as confirmed. So therefore, whilst the net increase today was two cases, our new total confirmed cases is 1,126, and for probable cases it is 348, which is the same as yesterday. Our total combined confirmed and probable cases is therefore 1,474. We report the confirmed case number to WHO and will continue to do so. That is the 1,126. Pleased to say no additional deaths to report today. And we have six people in hospital, none of whom are in intensive care. Yesterday, 2,637 tests were completed, and our combined total to date is 128,073 tests. Of our cases, 1,229 are reported as recovered. That's an increase of 15 on yesterday and now comprises 83% of all cases. There remain 16 significant clusters, no change from yesterday. A couple of words from me about Alert Level 3, as the Prime Minister said, now 2 days old. It's important that we keep reinforcing the key messages around expectations and how we need to all behave during Alert Level 3. It's crucial we stay vigilant and in particular maintain the guidelines around physical distancing, keeping within bubbles, good hand hygiene and not going out if unwell. And as commercial activity resumes, this applies to businesses and retailers who are now interacting in a contactless way with providers. And yesterday, like me, you will have seen some aspects of Level 3 were a little bit like the first day back after the summer holidays. And also we were all getting used to a new way of doing things. And I think for the most part, businesses got that right. However, we did see some pictures of quite large groups of people congregating outside one or two places. I'm sure those businesses involved will be working on their processes today to ensure that any customers waiting to pick up goods or services can maintain physical distancing. That will be imperative in terms of our ability to provide confidence to the government that we are ready to move down alert levels in due course. So, as I said yesterday, we have a new Section 70 notice that does include provisions to close non-compliant premises. However, I think yesterday would be a good example of everybody settling into a new regime, and for the most part that worked well, but just ironing out some small matters that do need to be ironed out quickly. So overall, the message is the same: stay home, save lives, and that's our number one rule for Alert Level 3. If you need medical attention, ring Healthline, ring your GP, or if it's an emergency, dial 111. And if you have any respiratory symptoms, please do contact Healthline or your GP and talk about getting a COVID-19 test. Thank you, Prime Minister.
Thank you, Dr. Bloomfield. I want to start by reminding people in the same way that Dr. Bloomfield has that we are not out of the woods yet. While our case numbers remain low, we will still have cases. And we have seen with our large clusters in New Zealand that it only takes one person to potentially affect many. With that in mind, we continue to take a firm stance with the enforcement of rules at level three. This is our waiting room, and so we need to make sure that we're vigilant in the way that we treat it. The rules are ultimately in place for a reason, and that reason is to keep us safe, but to also move us as quickly as we can into other alert levels. Police recorded 104 breaches in the first 18 hours of alert level 3. The vast majority of these resulted in warnings, but 21 people have been prosecuted and 71 warnings issued. In addition, 742 complaints of businesses not complying with level 3 rules were made. Most related to a lack of social distancing and business operating practices. MB, MPI and other agencies will be following up on a further proportion of these complaints. Agencies have been tasked in particular cases where they've triaged. 61 cases in particular are being followed up on. So while our preference is to educate and engage with businesses to ensure they're operating within the rules, we will not hesitate to take firmer measures if required. I asked a couple of questions this morning, particularly of some of the images I've seen of areas, and there were a couple of persistent photos that lingered around from some places in particular, and I've been told that MB and Health have actively reached out to some of those businesses to make sure that they are working with them on the ground to improve their practices to stop congregation at their place of business. Also update you today on early figures we have to hand on school and ECE attendance on the first day back today. Data from 10:30 a.m. this morning shows that 7,713 children attending an early learning service and 11,846 attending a school. This represents 4% attendance at ECE and 1% attendance in schools. Keeping in mind, though, for those numbers, we've had reporting from 37% of early learning services and 55% of schools. So these numbers will be updated. But early indications are that New Zealanders continue to take our lockdown at level three very seriously, that there remains an ongoing commitment to cementing what we've done and therefore learning and working from home if that's possible. I do want to thank everyone who is doing that, though. I know distance learning and having children at home while you're working can be very hard, but these early numbers demonstrate the ongoing commitment people are showing and New Zealand's ongoing commitment to not seeing a second wave of infection in New Zealand. Finally, I want to talk about New Zealand's small businesses, many of whom will now be back at work, but some who will not. We have already put in place the wage subsidy scheme to help with what is usually a firm's largest cost, wages. And today I can share news of further work that we are doing to help with commercial rents. As many of you will know, we've already agreed to push out deadlines on lease terminations when someone moves into arrears. But it is clear that this alone would not be enough for many businesses. We need to provide more reassurance as much as we're able to within the law. Although we cannot currently impose a commercial rent reduction, you've heard me speak to that a few times here, we have asked commercial tenants and landlords to work together to reach a fair agreement. However, some parties on both sides of the contract appear unwilling to renegotiate payment terms with officials, advising that some landlords are demanding full rent from tenants who have been unable to trade for several weeks and cannot afford it. While some well-resourced tenants have written to landlords declaring that they refuse to pay any rent for several months. Minister Little discussed options with other ministers at Cabinet Committee this morning. I can confirm that we are actively working on measures under which parties to a commercial lease would be expected to consider rent concessions in whole or in part for a period where the response to COVID-19 has had a material impact on business. We've heard the call for extra support from small business over and above that already provided through the wage subsidy and tax measures, and we are working actively to resolve that. So on principle, we've supported the work Minister Little is doing. We expect papers to come shortly, and as soon as those final decisions and work has been completed by the Ministry of Justice, we'll be sharing it. I do want to acknowledge that something similar has been worked up in Australia. That code of conduct, as I understand, still hasn't been legislated. That needs to happen at a state level. So we're working actively on looking at some of the similarities of what they've done here and what will be workable under our Property Act in New Zealand. Finally, it was my privilege during Alert Level 4 lockdown to thank all of our essential workers and others who have done an amazing job. And now, at Alert Level 3, I'm receiving many, many examples of businesses using good old Kiwi ingenuity to open up at Level 3 with contactless transactions. Today I want to highlight a couple of examples from what I know will be the missed food and beverage sector. Gizzy Local, an events website, has collated in one place nearly 30 food businesses that Gisborne locals can now access, noting how to order and how to collect. And some of you will have seen coverage of the Auckland coffee shop extending a plank of wood from which to serve up their flat whites at an appropriate distance. I do want to say good on to everyone who is working so hard to innovate, keep their customers safe, but get also their staff back to work. It's incredible to see. I know it makes people feel very proud given the difficult circumstances people are operating under. Okay, we're happy to take your questions.
Why did Cabinet reject advice from the Ministry of Health to close down the borders, including to returning New Zealand citizens?
Yes, you will have heard the Deputy Prime Minister point out that Health did suggest closing our borders entirely. Now, you'll remember we did close them off to foreign nationals, but we did not consider that it would ever be okay to stop New Zealanders coming home. You'll struggle to find countries in the world that would make a move like that. But we simply would not tolerate New Zealanders not having the option to return to the safety of New Zealand, their home.
Dr. Bloomfield, what was the rationale behind the Ministry's call on this? Why did you take this to Cabinet in the first place?
So if you think about our elimination goal, there are two parts to it: keep it out and stamp it out. And as we were moving very quickly into from alert level 2 and 3 and into 4, we felt that until we had a really secure process in place, this was based on the position as we were providing the advice, for people to come across the border to actually isolate or quarantine them or be assured about the fact that they didn't have intention, then we should at least temporarily close the border until we had that process in place. Mm. Cabinet balanced our advice up with all the advice they had, and of course with that came the instruction and the expectation that we would get that process in place very promptly. So that was the response to help mitigate that risk.
Mm. I think it's totally understandable under the circumstances, the Ministry of Health taking that position. Of course, the Ministry of Health wasn't required to weigh up our obligations through law to our own citizens. We did have to weigh that up. The way that we could deal with both obligations was actually to set up the kind of quarantine that we have now at the border, which is working well.
During that time, most of our cases were linked to international travel. Are you disappointed Cabinet went against that advice?
Well, not in the slightest bit, and you can see that not only was the decision to go into lockdown, alert level 4, made at the right time, but that the additional measures we've been able to put in place to manage the border and prevent further cases coming in during that lockdown period has paid off, and that's why now we are seeing any new cases coming across the border are in fact already in quarantine, and our overall low numbers reflect the fact that the overall approach was successful.
Would you like to see that mandatory quarantine brought up sooner though, considering that your initial advice was for a total shutdown of the borders?
Look, no, I don't actually. I think we've been successful, and as I say, Cabinet's decision was made with the expectation that we would manage the risk at the border, and I feel we have done that successfully, and that is part of our ongoing keep it out, stamp it out approach.
I do just want to reinforce that you'll be hard-pressed to find many countries in the world who took an extraordinary stance to exclude their own citizens from returning back to the one place they have a legal right to be. And it would have been extraordinary for the government to make a decision to strand New Zealanders and give them no ability to be able to come home. It could have meant that they were stuck illegally in other places, and it could have meant they could be stuck unsafely in other places. And we just couldn't entertain that. Equally, we needed to keep New Zealanders safe when they did return.
So yeah, Jenna. So how quickly then was that recommendation dismissed then?
Oh, look, it was never entertained in the same way that almost no country in the world has entertained not allowing citizens to come home. It is an extraordinary thing to deem someone stateless. But if you tell someone that they cannot return home, that's essentially what you're doing. And so there are international obligations that we have to consider with extraordinary decisions like that.
Do
you know, I'll let you finish your question?
Under what legal basis then did the Ministry of Health...
They don't have to consider those kinds of things.
We were giving our advice from a public health perspective. As I say, the approach was really clear. Keep it out, stamp it out. And it was clear at that point in time that most of our new cases were still coming in across the border. So we wanted Cabinet to understand, from a public health perspective, if we were to mitigate that risk of cases coming in across the border, ideally we would close the border for a period. Cabinet weighed up the full range of matters, including, of course, other legal obligations in making their decision.
Look, it's not at all unusual. Ministries focus on their own obligations and their own focus, and it wouldn't have been normal for a public health response to factor in the kinds of things that the Ministry of Foreign Affairs calls. Toba, and then I'll come in front.
Thank you. Shouldn't the Ministry of Health also weigh up human rights, though, when making recommendations to the government?
We always make sure that within every decision that we make, we do have human rights considerations. That's explicit in every paper we consider. It does not have to be generated by the Ministry of Health, though. It is always a consideration, though. I'll come to the front and then I'll come back to
Dr. Bloomfield, did you recommend a specific period for how long the border should remain closed for?
No, we didn't actually, and I don't recall the details. But what I will say is that the whole level 4 lockdown response was predicated on us managing the risk of new cases coming across the border and of breaking the chain of transmission in our communities here. We've been successful on both counts. That's why we're now in alert level 3.
I'll keep heading around.
What about a political lens on this decision, though, from the Ministry of Health? Shouldn't the Health Minister have realised that this was a breach of human rights and potentially suggested that instead of it going to Cabinet?
No, actually, the Minister of Health, or indeed any minister, doesn't necessarily vet and curtail the advice of their ministry. That's made available to us. In the same way that the Minister of Finance won't always agree with Treasury's view, that's still able to be put to us for full consideration. So they don't filter the advice that comes through. So we were able to see what the view of the Ministry of Health was, and then it's our job to weigh that up against all of the other legal considerations that we must have. The periods of time have somewhat merged together for me. I can get you a date for that, but it was my recollection. It was pre-level 4 is my recollection. And if out of interest, we now have 3,241 in managed isolation or quarantine, and we've had, roughly give or take, about 25 people who have tested positive for COVID whilst they've been in our quarantine or isolation facilities. So it is proving its worth in stopping the spread of COVID.
On social distancing, there's a video online of a burger fuel outlet in Auckland. Have you seen that? And what's your message for businesses who want to operate but obviously they're not getting social distancing?
I believe I've seen the same. I've seen still images rather than a video. And that caused me enough concern. I saw multiple angles of it, so it caught the attention of members of the public, which tells me that by and large people absolutely know what we need to be doing at level 3, but clearly that wasn't happening in this scenario. We have had confirmation, though, from officials this morning that they have been directly in contact, I'm told, with the head office of that operation in order to ensure they understand their obligations and that they will manage their ongoing trade from here on, because they certainly didn't fulfil those obligations last night.
The voice of Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern. We also heard from Director General Ashley Bloomfield, and the Prime Minister began by saying that they will continue those 1 p.m. briefings at level 3 in the same way as they did them at level 4 for the time being. 2 new COVID-19 cases to announce today. Ashley Bloomfield described yesterday as the first day back after the summer holidays, or being like the first day back after the summer holidays. And the Prime Minister talked about 104 breaches of the Level 3 rules, 21 prosecutions and 71 warnings. Lots of complaints about businesses as well, 742, and most of them were around a lack of social distancing. And you may have heard her answer a question on that towards the end of that media conference. What else? Schools today, 1% of New Zealand school children are at school, according to early reports, and about 4% of children in early learning centres. The Prime Minister talked a bit about commercial rents and some measures they are looking to take to require tenants and landlords, well, in particular landlords, to consider a rent reduction. And then plenty of questions on the, I was going to say the big news, but I guess the most recent news, that the Ministry of Health advised the government to shut its borders to everyone, including New Zealand citizens. So Ashley Bloomfield, and in particular Prime Minister, answering plenty of questions from journalists about why that advice was rejected.